So hello and welcome to the In The Zone podcast with me, Mike Ryder.
And me, Josh Hughes.
And today's episode, we're going to talk about the podcast itself. We're going to wish ourselves happy birthday. Happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday.
Because we're officially 1 year old.
Yeah, which is quite nice.
Yeah, didn't imagine that we'd find ourselves in this position.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I thought this far ahead.
No, I definitely didn't.
I mean, yeah, because we did with our the way the podcast came about was through a research network that Mike and I was sort of ended up being the only contributors to for quite a while.
Yes,
and so it went. You know, we sort of watched all of the other contributors sort of fizzle out, and you know, did wonder whether the podcast might just fizzle out. But it's
well, it's only you and me, so we're not relying on anyone.
Absolutely, yeah, I think quite self sufficient.
Yeah, so just to put this in context, this is episode 52. So we have now done a complete year's worth of episodes. Obviously, we missed a week, 1 week for illness. But other than that, we are...
Sorry, team.
Sorry, yeah. illness hits us all. But yeah, so that's 52 episodes of interesting chat.
Yeah.
So what have been some of the highlights for you, do you think, from the series?
I think... So one of the, we discussed that this was going to... We were going to talk about this, didn't we? One of the things I was thinking that I really enjoyed was our chat about gym culture with Curtis.
Yeah, the gym culture episode was very good, yeah.
Because I think it was a chance to talk about something that is absolutely fascinating and is completely unexplored in academic circles.
Mm.
And so, you know, I mean, afterwards we talked about developing the field of exercise sociology or something.
Yeah.
Just because it was so interesting. So I think just in terms of how, you know, we came out of that, I think I did certainly, I think we, probably all three of us came out of the podcast thinking there's actually more things we could talk about, we could research, we could write about.
Yeah, definitely.
And so in that sense it was perhaps one of the most exciting podcasts that we did.
Yeah, and the strange thing about that one in particular was that particular episode was a little bit off the cuff.
Yeah.
So Curtis came to us and we recorded the first episode, which was about neuroplasticity, which was a topic that Curtis himself wanted to talk about. But then when we come to the second episode that we record in the session, it was a case of, well, what we're going to talk about now, what's interesting. And then we thought, well, obviously you two know each other through sort of gymming. And I thought, well, this is quite an interesting topic to explore. And it sort of just sort of stems from there, didn't it?
Yeah. I think that's something else we've noticed, isn't it? Lots of the off-the-cuff discussions are often, I don't know if a little bit better is the right term, but sort of flow more.
Yeah, I mean, it depends in what scenario, because we have the ones that are just between you and me.
Yeah.
And to be fair, most of them are off-the-cuff. But when we have guests in, often we'll invite them to record a few episodes with us, and it's often the one that's...
Unplanned,
that actually we get the best conversation out of them as well, I think, don't we? Because there's no pressure then.
Yeah, I think that's something else that I've noticed is that a lot of people who come on, a lot of our guests, are quite nervous about talking about their work. And I mean, it's understandable because I think I have been nervous about talking about my thesis and stuff. I think partially because you kind of don't want to give your big secrets away. You don't want somebody to listen to it and then steal your ideas. But also, part of doing the PhD is to be told quite regularly this work isn't good enough, or it's not up to standard, or you could improve it.
Although you don't know enough, even.
Yeah. And so that can kind of internalise you feeling that you don't know enough, you're not good enough, and who are you to talk about this topic, even though actually you're probably a world-class expert in it.
Yeah, I suppose the process is one of coming to accept one's own ignorance and understanding where one is in relation to everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing about you and me, which is why we started this, is that neither of us really mind sort of sticking our head up a little bit above the parapet just to sort of explore where our ideas go. I think some of the people that we've met over time, not from our podcast, but I mean, just generally, it's very much the case in academia that people very much just want to stick to their area, and perhaps because of fear of being found out, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. And I think I wonder if, you know, the fact that we sort of do the off-the-cuff podcast as well kind of give some of the guests an opportunity to talk about something that is not necessarily within their area, and they can say, I'm not an expert in this,
yeah,
but here's what I think anyway.
Yeah.
and it kind of just gives that a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's definitely an experience. And to be fair to them, in most situations, it's the first time any of them have actually spoken in public about their research for something that's going to go up on the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, you and I have the benefit of having done this now 52 times, which I can't believe really. It's over sort of 26 hours of chatting away into a dictaphone. Yeah, it's just fascinating, isn't it, really, how it's come about.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the other podcasts that I really enjoyed was our chat with Claire about book covers.
Yes, that's because that's very much out of your area, isn't it? That
very much so. And I think because it was a surprise to be asked what our favourite book covers were. I didn't realise that was coming.
Right.
And so it was quite nice for the table. Well, not necessarily nice for the tables to be turned, but nice to have an opportunity to talk about something that you like, even and it was unexpected.
Yeah, and the thing is, I still remember the book cover that you described as well.
Yes, because you took Freefall.
Yes, yeah, no, I still, because I looked it up afterwards. I mean, this was over 6 months ago. This podcast, but it's still refreshing my mind because I have looked at it. It's a very good cover. I did quite like it.
Yeah, it's excellent. I think maybe it was just how good the cover is that made me smile and think about it, and then I enjoyed that.
And of course, our high quality podcast guest.
Yes.
Shout out to Claire, who is definitely a subscriber.
Yes.
Who did badger me the other day, said, "Where was your podcast last week?"
our only returning guest as well.
Yes, our only returning guest. Though we have had a few inquiries, I feel, haven't we? I think Rafa was interested.
Rafa wants to come back, yeah.
He was our very first guest.
Yes.
We were still very new in the interviewing.
The podcast game.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so it's quite nice. So it's quite nice to actually have guests want to come back. And, you know, they enjoyed the experience and had a chance to talk about their work and what they're interested in and maybe got a bit of exposure and a bit of impact from it. And, you know, want some more. We'll talk again. That's quite nice.
Yeah.
We haven't scared people off too much.
Interestingly, looking at the podcast stats, and well, the ones that I have access to specifically is, I do have access to the list of downloads from the website specifically, and the ones that tend to be quite high up are the ones about academia and PhD life. Now, I don't know if that's because they just got more exposure from being shared through Emily Lynn's contacts and Let's Talk Academia, or equally if it's because it's something that there's not many podcasts on, but the ones about academic life do seem to have gains a little bit more traction than some of the others, just in terms of, I think, the download specifically to the website, which I think is an interesting insight, I think, into the stuff we covered.
I think, like you say, there aren't actually that many podcasts that talk about what it's like to be a PhD student. There are a few blogs that, I mean, obviously our friend Emily Lynn and Let's Talk Academia, and sort of the Northwest Consulting blog, and maybe there's a few others, but kind of there aren't that many resources that talk about what it's like to be a PhD student. And actually, there are a lot of people out there who are living this experience and struggling with it, and probably want to know that they're not alone. So
yeah,
you know, it's quite nice to be able to share our experiences and hopefully make some people feel a bit better about how their PhD is going, and that it's all right to be struggling, and it's all right if you messed up this chapter and you've got to bin it or whatever, or it's all right.
Yeah, and I think our listeners can look forward to some more podcasts along those lines, as we've got a few lined up, planned in the book.
Yeah, so like, share and subscribe if you want to listen to some more.
Share the love of the pod, as they say. That's been quite an interesting journey. I mean, from my own point of view, I was just thinking of some of my favourites. I mean, I'd quite like to return to the autonomous cars one at some point, actually, because the very first podcast we did, I think, were probably among the most interesting that we did in terms of the content that we touched upon and some of the conversations we had, I think, around autonomous cars, the moral machine experiments.
Maybe that was because we actually prepared for those.
Yeah, and maybe that's why out of all 52, they're probably the two or three most high quality.
I'd say something else that's really nice to come out of the podcast is, I don't think I've told you this, actually, but I've had a few people sort of listen to it. Friends who I didn't realise were interested.
Yeah.
You know, maybe put something on Instagram, so I did a podcast today, link in bio or whatever. And people I didn't expect had listened to it. and then message me or mention it to my mum who then told me or whatever, and how much they enjoyed it.
Oh, really?
And found it really interesting, and you know, wanted to learn more. And I think, you know, it's really nice that people bother to reach out and say it.
Yeah.
But it's also really nice just that people are enjoying what we're talking about, even, and the fact that there maybe people didn't expect to be interested.
And the fact that even there are actual real human beings out there listening to it, because, I mean, this comes out of topic in my thesis, but it's all well and good seeing some numbers, but ultimately, I mean, other than Claire, who we know listens to it, hello again, Claire, it's very hard to actually put real human beings behind those numbers and actually think, actually, your voice, your thoughts have made some sort of impact somewhere with someone. Yeah, of course, we're not celebrities making millions on this or with millions of subscribers, but I do quite like the fact that it is reaching out and is having some sort of impact on some people's lives, which is the power of the pod.
Yeah, including one person who has been inspired to read out Flowers for Algernon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shout out to Young Niall.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, please, Niall. Do let me know what you think about that once you've read it. That was a very impassioned episode, that one. Yeah. Just off the cuff as well. I didn't have any notes. I just didn't even know I was going to talk about it. Flowers for Algernon is one of my all-time favourites.
Yeah, so it's been quite nice to actually, the fact that it's had a bit of an impact on the podcast as a whole, because I think probably when we started it, there was kind of a fear that there's a lot of podcasts out there, we're just going to be sort of shouting into the void, will anyone listen to it?
Mm.
So it's quite nice that actually there are people who listen to it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. And also I think it's quite nice in a more sort of academic sense that sort of our friends and people who invite on and stuff have an opportunity to have some impact, like, I mean, impact in terms of the ref impact.
Yeah.
Like, this is a vehicle for which people can use to improve their funding reporting and stuff. But actually, it's when people think about impact in terms of, yeah, what does their research do? How does it get out there? Lots of people dread it. Mm. Oh, I've got to do this impact shit. I've got to do that. I can't be bothered. What I do, but you know, what am I going to do for it?
Mm.
You can just come and have a conversation with us.
Yeah, and I think I like to think of us as a safe space, in a way. I think in terms of just being able to practice talking about your stuff in a sort of fairly safe, friendly setting.
Yeah.
It's only the two of us in a room, typically. I mean, at the moment we're sitting in my front room because we've recently taken the podcast into the home. But in the past, it's been in various rooms around about Lancaster University.
Yeah.
Hence the change in the background sounds, you'll notice.
Which, I mean, I think one of the strange things we noticed about recording on the campus was we had to lock all of the doors.
We did, yes.
not to be weird, but because there was always a draft that came through and opened the door if we didn't lock it, which was strange.
Yeah, the ghost of Lancaster.
Ghost, yeah, campus ghosts.
Yeah, Lancaster's a weird one because you do have all the building work as well going on and various noises around and about the place.
Yeah. So which obviously links back to our podcast about cities and campus universities, and if we'd done it in a city, if we were at a city university, there would be different noises and different environment, and maybe there wouldn't be students knocking about, but there would be the general public.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, that's a very good point. But obviously we had that episode, I do remember quite clearly, where someone had a baby in the next room.
That was that episode, I think.
Was it the same episode the door opened? Yeah. Oh, I can't remember.
No, it was the episode with the city campus discussion.
Ah, right.
I enjoyed that episode because it was an opportunity to talk about some like urban theory and stuff, and that I didn't really know about until kind of I just thought about it and bothered to have a quick look, and thought, well, we might as well talk about it.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite nice in the sense that having different topics every week kind of just gives you an opportunity to think about different things.
Yeah, I'd definitely say that's a big benefit from my own point of view. I mean, I said this at my Viva the other week, my thesis Viva. I was sort of talking about how a lot of my actual research has been influenced in one way or another by essentially conversations with colleagues. Mainly, I did say, with you. Because obviously we met, I think, three and a half years ago, at a conference about drones.
Yeah.
Run by one of my supervisors. But from that, obviously, we sort of got to know each other over time, and we've talked about various things we're interested in, and that's led to research and various reading groups and papers and things, and that's led me to read things I wouldn't have read before, and that in itself has then fed into my research. So actually, even this very process of podcasting, in a way, is feeding into, I suppose, both of our academic, I don't know what the word would be, our sort of, our overall academic...
research environment, maybe?
Yeah, but it's giving us ideas, it's making us think about things.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
And examples, like when you mentioned the random books you've been reading or whatever, I'll add it onto my little reading list, I might come round to it, or we'll have examples that then sort of maybe feed into our research at a later date.
Yeah, and I mean, so one of the sort of things that I remember, there's a quote that you particularly like from Grégoire Chamaillet's Drone Theory about the risk of military robots is not that they will disobey and, you know, become alive and do whatever, it's that they will never disobey and they will do the right thing all the time. And it was a quote that I'd forgotten until you mentioned it.
Oh, right, yeah, I love that quote.
I think I mentioned it about two or three times in my thesis, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Quote MJ Ryder.
For stuff like that, you know, stuff like that, it's having a different perspective on stuff and sort of, oh, well, you know, it's as if we looked at each other's work and said, what about this? Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
About that? Which is incredibly useful.
Yeah, not directly, because we're not even in the same department. Let's make that clear to our listeners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that we've handed in and finished.
Yeah.
We sort of live quite different lives now, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, in a way, I guess.
But yeah, it's well, I think one of the things that I like thinking about is one of my side interests is sort of chaos and complexity theory.
Mm.
And one of the sort of things that they say, or the literature says, when it comes to making decisions in complex environments, is to have multiple perspectives on stuff.
Mm.
And sort of that's what we've basically been doing. We've been providing each other with different perspectives on topics.
Mm.
And that's sort of enabled us to improve our highly complex work. And
yeah. And I think it's almost like a sort of form of mental exercise, you could say, in a way, because I think there's a risk with all forms of academia where you just get into a rut thinking just in your very small niche. I mean, if I was just to talk in my very small niche, I'm not sure there's much I could really talk about. But actually, and because this is, I think, as well, because I'm so focused on making my stuff relevant, I think it's really useful to be able to go through that process verbally as much as anything else of talking about how these ideas might link to other things and just sort of having this discussion in an open platform.
Yeah, and I think because it can almost be like a dry run of your ideas.
Yeah, to an extent.
Because I remember the podcast that we did about whether machines can be alive, whether AI can be alive.
That was a good one, I like that one.
Yeah, because I'd sort of, you know, written a bit in my thesis about the topic, and then we kind of discussed it, and then you came in with a completely different perspective, and it was like, oh shit, I hadn't thought about that at all. You know, I had to sort of go back and improve it. And I don't think we've sort of done that with our guests in terms of poking a hole in their work.
Because we try to be nice.
But we would be very open to those sorts of discussions, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I think when it comes to our guests, I think one of my favourite things has been, and I mentioned Claire a couple of times, because I do like it when the guests fight back. Not fight back as such, but when they reflect back on us. Because I think we obviously get into a habit of talking to each other in a certain way about certain things. It's actually quite nice sometimes to then be asked questions ourselves.
Yeah, about things. Turn around and say, what the fuck are you on about?
Yeah, or in more polite words. Yeah, which is nice. And as I say, it's given us such an opportunity to talk about things we might not normally talk about.
Yeah, definitely, I think so. I think it's quite... as we were saying, sort of for guests as well, I think for some of them it's quite nice to just have the opportunity to express themselves in a different way. Because obviously there's lots of people who don't like writing.
Yeah, I mean, true.
It's a bit unfortunate if you end up in a PhD and you don't like writing, but some people maybe just prefer talking about their work, and sort of gives them the opportunity to do that. Because, I mean, although most PhD students do some teaching and some lecturing and whatever...
Mm.
There's not that many opportunities to actually stand up and talk about your work, unless it's at a conference, in which case it's quite
a formal environment.
Environment, and it's you go up and you do your 20 minutes, and
but you often people prepare for that as well, don't they?
I mean, it's not free flowing. What I'm trying to think and getting at. Whereas the podcast is, it's more.
It's more informal. It's just a free flowing chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I think kind of some people get a lot more out of that and talk about their work in a way that they otherwise wouldn't.
Mm.
And that's quite nice for them, and it's quite nice for us to be able to talk about both our own work and to hear it.
Yeah, and to learn from other people, to hear other people's work, because often in academia, you do get stuck in a rut and you don't get the chance to find out what other people do. Like, for instance, Claire's book history stuff, for example, or, for me, like Raph's corporate law, because I didn't have any contact with that, or Lindsay and organ transplants.
Yeah.
Because that, I thought that one in particular was quite fascinating for me, just because it was a whole world I hadn't got any idea about. Then we had Rosie and sort of gender and female terrorists and female terrorist groups. We've had a lot of really good guests, I'd say, actually.
One of the ones that people have spoken to me about as well is Craig and space colonialism and ethnic futures and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff.
Because
it's
something so far out there.
Mm, literally,
lots of people couldn't even imagine that it's something to study.
But it's a thing,
It's a thing.
That's geography for you.
But then again, but it's by the same token, it's nice that we have the opportunity to bring someone on the podcast who is so forward thinking, and doing something that's so prescient for the future.
So hopefully we're exposing other people as well to the sort of stuff that's out there, because often I think people might get a distorted impression otherwise of what a PhD is and actually what's being researched out there in the arts and humanities. I think
that's something else, isn't it? Because we are both funded by the same consortium, which itself receives funding from the Arts and Humanities Research Council.
Mm.
And so, I mean, the fact that our projects were funded by the same people ultimately, and so was Emily Lynn and
Claire
and Craig as well, I think.
Oh, I don't know. They're a different funding one, but I know Rosie's funded by someone, but not by us.
But like the fact that arts and humanities is actually so wide, when most people probably think of arts as literally painting and humanities as
books, history.
Books, yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, it's true. So hopefully we're showcasing some of the diversity. Of course, we want to continue.
Yeah.
Into the year ahead, it'd be nice to get some more guests on, wider range of guests.
Yeah.
Got a few ideas lined up, but it's just inspiring them to come on.
But also, I think what Curtis showed us as well was that if you've got an interesting idea, then interesting ideas are worth talking about.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you've got a PhD, whether you're doing a PhD or you're not, or you're doing something else, or you've not done anything, in a formal academic sense. You know, great ideas are out there, and random people in the street have them, and they're worth talking about. And actually, if you agree with that, then it's worth talking to people you meet more.
Talking about people's passions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think, exactly. Yeah, because if people are passionate about something, they've thought about it.
Mm.
And if they've thought about it, they've probably had an original thought about it, and it's probably interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where we go with that one, I think, because obviously we started out by just inviting people we knew, and then we sort of branched out to people we sort of know less well, but I think hopefully we can get a few more people in next year. That'll be good. Mix up a bit.
Yeah, so if you listen to this and you want to come on, you've got an idea you want to talk about, then hit us up.
Please do get in contact. You can post a comment on the website, innerzonepodcast.com, or find either of us on social media, click the contact button on the website. Any number of ways you can get in contact with us.
I'm sure we can work out how to...
Or tweet us, even.
Yeah, I'm sure we can work out how to do a podcast on Skype or something, or a VoIP service of some description.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we should.
If you're if you want to come on and you're not very and you're a bit far up further away,
yeah, or Teams maybe actually. Yeah, now think about it, because you can record them. I'm sure you can.
Yeah. So,
could be the future.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, or I mean, you could pre-record something even actually and send it to us, and we can talk about it around it.
Yeah. So
loads of ideas.
Yeah, I think overall it's been a fascinating year, hasn't it?
52 episodes. Can't believe 52 episodes.
It seems like a thing, because as we've got along and do you want to record this week, are you free on Monday, whatever.
Yeah.
It just was something we did, and I didn't tot them up or anything or think this seems like a lot of work or whatever. It was just
something we did because we were doing it anyway, really, in terms of we'd spend a few hours every couple of weeks
having a chat.
Yeah, basically.
Which we basically just transplanted from
just recording it.
Transplanted from Delhi to a meeting room, didn't we?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's one of them things that it never seemed like a chore really to do, and suddenly we've done a lot.
Yeah. So what do you think we're going to talk about this year ahead? What themes do you think might come up?
I have no idea. Well, maybe actually because some of my work is more ethics based. Maybe we'll end up talking more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would quite like to talk to some techier people.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, some scientists might be nice.
Yeah, maybe. I'd quite like to talk to people. Yeah, as I was sort of saying before, people with good ideas who wouldn't necessarily see themselves in a university, or different types of people, maybe.
Yeah, I mean potentially. Yeah, I mean I'm just thinking broadly in terms of the sort of themes that we touch upon. I wonder if there's anything that might happen in the news this coming year that we'll be talking about. I mean, obviously, robots and AI are sort of
it's always advancements with AI, isn't there?
That sort of stuff. I think, obviously, the fires in Australia, if we maybe get something in about that.
Yeah.
We could talk about Megxit. Perhaps that's something that we could potentially talk about.
I think, sometimes, because I mean, the idea of academic activism has been on our list to talk about for a little while.
It stays at the bottom of our list.
But I think we should talk about that because I've had a few ideas about that recently.
Okay, yeah.
So
I'd quite like to cross it off, to be honest, because it's been on that list since probably like February last year.
Yeah, probably. So that's
since we talked to Craig, actually.
There's a teaser for listeners.
Yeah.
I think something that we spoke to Ben Goldsworthy about was trying to be a bit more comparative in our thoughts.
Okay.
So one of the things he's interested in is comparative security policy.
Right.
So, when we think about security and security studies, lots of it is very much informed by Western thought, the US, the UK, NATO.
Mm.
But what do the Chinese think? What do the Russians think? What do the Indians think about various things that are happening?
Yeah.
And I think, like I was saying before, in complex environments, different perspectives are what you should try and acquire, because that should help. That will help you understand the situation better.
Mm. Yeah, very much so.
I'm trying to sort of do it, being a bit more comparative in terms of my other work, but I think trying to be a bit more, or at least look into what comparativeness can bring to the table.
New perspectives, yeah. I mean, and what better way than in a diverse world of literature? Just to segue nicely into the In The Zone book club,
yes,
we've had a few successful episodes so far.
Yeah, and I think we've read a lot of books, so there's quite a few to come.
Yeah, there's plenty of scope for talking about more books, I think, definitely. I've got quite a few ideas that I'd like to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I thought it would also be interesting to... maybe we should put up a list of books that we're thinking of talking about, and any particular fans of those books could come and talk about them as well.
That's a very good shout. Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. Yeah, and you don't have to be an English scholar to come and talk about books. I mean, to be fair, you did a very good job of talking about James Ellroy, and because it's not your subject, like talking about books, and I thought you did a very good job talking for half an hour about the noir crime fiction of James Ellroy. So
American noir, yeah.
So, but
I think even listeners, you want to come on, maybe I've got an idea for they want to talk about one podcast, maybe they're not talk about, because usually divulge the secrets of the podcast, we normally get guests on and record two in quick succession at the same sort of time slot.
Yeah, we do.
So maybe there are potential people who would like to come on, maybe you've got an idea for one, aren't too sure about the other, well, maybe suggest a book that you'd like to talk about and we'll get a copy and we'll read it and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
That could work.
Or even if you've heard one of our podcasts and you
think we're all wrong and you want to...
You think we're all wrong right. And you want to set us right. Yeah, please do come on and argue with us.
Or maybe you want to say how good we are.
We
accept all compliments.
Yeah. Yeah, and bribes. Yeah. No, definitely, yeah. So I think it's been a good year so far. It's done, but it's been a good year.
Yeah.
The podcasting process and...
Here's to much more.
Yeah, here's to much more, definitely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the In The Zone podcast with Mike Ryder and Josh Hughes.
For more podcasts and interesting chat, visit InTheZonePodcast.com.